We're back on the air, and my name is Jeffrey Davis. Thank you very much. That means we are talking to entrepreneurs. And just for anyone who didn't know, we've interviewed more than 6,000 entrepreneurs on Radio Entrepreneurs. We are the leading source of entrepreneurial stories in New England. So we're pretty happy about that. Our next guest, well, before I even say that, and we're being hosted by the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart, and Rogers, and that means my co-host is the one, the only, Mark Furman.
Jeffrey, great to be with you.
Thank you, Mark. Nice to see you again. And our next guest, who remembers me, sorry to say that for her sake, is Andrea Kramer, partner at Kramer LLC. Welcome.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
So tell us about Kramer LLC.
It's a small firm. It's me. And it's a little over 2 years old. I worked for many, many years in firms, then went into state government, then needed to decide what I was going to do when I grew up, and actually decided that this was what I wanted to do, and I have never been happier. And what I do is I continue to do litigation, as I always have, all kinds of litigation, focusing on commercial and employment, but almost anything can come in the door, and if I can handle it, I will do it. Then I also do some employment counseling, severance agreements, and some ghostwriting for other attorneys. Yeah, I guess that's it.
Do you typically represent the plaintiff in cases, or do you represent both plaintiffs and defendants?
That's one of the beauties of having my own firm is I can represent whoever I want, and I represent on both sides. I don't believe that there is a structural conflict between representing employers and employees, and I'm small enough that I don't have actual conflicts.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much split, and it's wonderful.
Is employment a bigger part of the practice than commercial, or is it about the same?
I would say it's pretty much 50-50, more like 40-40, with 20 being other stuff, whether it's writing for other people, summary judgments, or appellate briefs, or it's this other case where I'm trying to keep my client out of the media. So it's pretty split.
So what are some of the hot issues in employment law that entrepreneurs need to be aware of to protect themselves?
They probably know this, but the two biggest issues right now are independent contractor versus wage law and the new non-compete law in Massachusetts. There's also, of course, and I think I probably should mention this because I think this is what the other Mark in the room thinks of me in relation to, is all of the new equality laws, the paid sick leave, paid family leave bills that are moving that have been passed now, actually, and the pay equity bills. So I would say, actually, it's probably those three things that entrepreneurs need to know. The pay equity they should do because it's the right thing from a business and a legal perspective. The other two things are the ones that they're going to get trapped in at this point. Can't tell you the number of people, smart people, who have no idea about wage and hour law and the difference between independent contractors and employees and between exempt and non-exempt, which they confuse with salaried and wage. And as I try to explain to people, salary versus wage is a method of paying. It has nothing to do with a legal status. And so people are making wage and hour mistakes all over the place. And for entrepreneurs, it's a really serious problem because the owner is liable, can be liable, the president, the treasurer, anybody making business decisions. So there's this whole piercing the corporate veil that's built into the law. And it's mandatory treble damages and attorney's fees. It's a problem.
It's a huge problem. It's a huge problem I see in my practice that, people just, I think in some cases, just they're unaware how almost impossible it is to have an independent contractor in Massachusetts. Or it's one of those things that their head is in the sand.
There is some head in the sand. I think a lot of it is misinformation that they get from other people. They say, fine, I'm going to put you on a salary, so now I don't have to give you overtime. As if they can decide whether somebody is salaried without overtime or whether they can decide whether somebody gets overtime or not. They don't realize that just because somebody's on a salary doesn't mean they don't get overtime pay.
Right.
Where I'm seeing it, because I'm the mother of two young adults now, years have passed since I last saw you, is that this is happening an incredible amount with young people right out of college or right out of high school. And they'll say, you know, we don't want to bring you, we don't know if we could bring you on all the time or full time, so we'll just make you an independent contractor. Again, the length of time you work or the amount of hours has nothing to do with whether you're an independent contractor or an employee. But being an independent contractor is such a problem for these young people. They wind up not getting health insurance usually. Sometimes the employer will say, well, I'll give you more money to cover it, right? But then they're paying taxes on it and they're paying more. But more importantly, when they have to sue for their wages, they don't get attorney's fees. So if somebody stiffs you for $20,000, you're not getting an attorney to sue for that, and you're not getting treble damages, right? And so there's that problem. Then you're unemployed. You're not getting unemployment. You injure yourself. Now you're not getting workers' comp. And of course, there's the FICA you pay yourself. This is obviously, as you can maybe hear, is become like this pet peeve of mine. If I could reach every single person between 20 and 25 and tell them this, I would.
Well, it just seems to be so common that everyone's doing this and they believe that there's no enforcement of the law. Is that what you find too? And is this true in other states as well? I know a lot of people doing work in New York.
The law is more strict in Massachusetts than any other state. I mean, the traditional standard turned on, Andrea can correct me if I'm wrong, on control of the person. But the Massachusetts standard is different, even if there's no control by the employer, if they're involved in the same business. So I think of it like in my firm, maybe the janitorial service can be independent contractors, but, lawyers, paralegals, legal assistants, probably file room people, they're all employees. And it comes up, it's come up in my practice in some what I'd consider areas that you don't necessarily think of at first blush. For example, the franchise area. There's a lot of entrepreneurs are in the franchise business, and there are all these class actions that deal with their employees. Those class actions, usually the franchisor gets named too, and the exposure is incredible when you triple the actual amount.
And in attorney's fees.
What? Right. Another area, like in the Boston, I was involved in the Boston cab industry case, mm-hmm. where they lease, cabbies lease the vehicles. There was a class action lawsuit that claiming that the system was, it's just really their employees, and it was, I mean, the damages for my client was just staggering what the exposure was. Fortunately for him, the Supreme Judicial Court agreed with us that they weren't employees, but if they had gone the other way, I can't tell you how many millions of dollars it would have cost.
So what if you're living in Massachusetts, but you're doing contract work in another state? Is it still enforced by Massachusetts?
So let me just back up a few points to your question. One is lots of other states have similar rules. So California law is almost as stringent, okay? Right. And so is New York. And the federal test has always been about control, but in fact, there's 20 factors.
Right.
And depending on who's enforcing it, meaning the administrative agencies or the courts, it can go either way. It has moved overall over the years, whether under federal law or other state laws, to a standard that's more that being the employee is the rule, being the independent contractor is the exception. So that's true. And for Massachusetts, the rule now is basically, sort of to encapsulate what you were saying, if the person's doing what the business does, they're probably an employee. The question of whether an independent contractor from out of the state, it would depend on the facts, but Massachusetts law may very well apply. Because here's the thing, it's sort of a roundabout thing. Massachusetts law will apply to all Massachusetts employers. So you will first decide under Massachusetts law whether the person is a Massachusetts employee. Then if they are, then Massachusetts law would apply. So it becomes actually kind of complicated with the choice of law. I couldn't just answer that off the top of my head, but I'd say for entrepreneurs, and going to your example, is yes, the liability is catastrophic, but the legal fees can be pretty high for a startup. You mentioned a company that took a case to the SJC. That had to cost a few dollars, which is going to be a problem for a startup, right? And it's probably not what the equity folks want to be paying for. As much as they may like you, I think they'd rather put the money into the developing the business. So even if the person's out of state, they might be very well facing.
Well, I met someone in state who's working for an out-of-state company.
So again, the laws apply to Massachusetts employees. So they apply to Massachusetts employees and Massachusetts employers. So the same thing will happen. So people out of state need to worry about it too.
I find the whole topic intriguing. I have more questions for you when the mics are off. we've been speaking with Andrea Kramer, partner at Kramer LLC. And that other intelligent voice, which was clearly not mine, was Mark Furman from the law firm of Tarlow, Breithart & Rogers, talking about that infamous taxi case, which was a big case for this firm, and they had a very favorable judgment, so they did a great job there. Andrea, if someone's looking for you, how would they find you?
My website, which will be relaunched in about the next month, is KramerLawLLC.com, and they can reach me at Andrea@KramerLawLLC.com.
Great. Want to thank you for being on the show today. It's great. And remind everybody, we are at the law firm of Tarlow, Breithart & Rogers. Just look at the YouTube video of this, and you'll see that. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.